Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street. It's the podcast all about radio. Our current podcast series focuses on one of radio's greatest and most special assets, our on-air talent. As we like to say, radio was the original social medium, and its on-air personalities are the original social media influencers. Many of these radio influencers have greater reach and followers than that of other media, and they have incredibly strong ties to local communities, which is based on a foundation of trust and emotional connection. As individuals who entertain, educate, and inform, radio influencers have the power to impact and affect behavior and brand consideration. On a daily basis, they create environments that connect their audiences with businesses to help drive brand awareness and increase sales for those businesses, products, and services. In our 12th episode of this series, we hear the conversation I had with Ginny Brophy, known on the air as Ginny Rogers. She's the brand manager and midday on-air talent at 97.5 WOKQ, the largest country radio station in New Hampshire. So you're doing it all. You're the program director and you're managing yourself on the air. How do those two hats work together?
You know, it's years of being an assistant program director, music director, and having great mentors. You know, I had a great mentor for 25 years at WKLB in Boston, who taught me a lot. And, you know, if you don't learn as you go, you don't advance and you don't really get to know your business or what you're supposed to be doing to serve the community. So I'm very fortunate and I had great mentors. And for me, it's always keeping myself in check and not being afraid to listen to others, because sometimes I don't hear the mistakes I make and they do. And you have to have an open mind and be open to everything.
I bet. And it's fascinating that you have your own name and then you have a professional name. So are there two Ginnies? Is it an alter ego? How do you keep them straight?
You know, that didn't happen until I came here. I was always Ginny Rogers because I was on the air. Funny quick story about that. When I was 20 something and I went on the air for the first time, my maiden name was a long Italian name. And they said, "You can't use that name on the air." And I said, "Why not?" And they were like, "No, you need, if you don't come up with a name before you go on the air to do a morning show tomorrow, we're going to do this with the phone book and that's going to be your name." And I was like, no. So that night, ironically, The Gambler came on TV and I saw Kenny Rogers and I said, you know what? Ginny Rogers has a nice ring. So that's why,
so
I went
funny.
All those years ago. Yeah.
So we have Kenny Rogers to thank for that.
Yeah. But Brophy, to add to that, but Brophy is my real name. And that is what I use as a professional name now. Mm-hmm. On the air, it's still Ginny Rogers.
Okay. So whichever hat you want to wear right now, thinking of, you know, obviously being responsible for the content and actually being part of the content. From your perspective, Ginny, what do you think makes great radio?
Great radio is made by great personalities, great content, but it's more than that. It's great storytelling, great relatability. Air talent have to have great experiential stories that the audience can say, "Hey, I feel the same way as that person. And since I feel the same way and I feel like I know them, I trust them." And once you gain the trust of your listeners, then kind of the world is in your court and you can kind of go anywhere you want to go as long as you maintain that trust. So the key is to definitely connect with the listeners, share personal stories, and be super local. And I can't stress that enough. Be super local. That's the key.
So share a little bit about your show, a little deeper, if you will. And obviously the country format is always so important. And from your perspective, why is country so important? And, you know, there's still some people think of the old country and Western, and it has moved so far ahead of that.
Erica, I started when people thought it was just a hick format and you know, it couldn't work in Boston. It couldn't work in the Northeast. I remember when George Strait would not do shows in the Northeast because he didn't think there were any country fans, which was not true at all. And it took years to build that. And we built it. But the thing about the country format is that the listeners are loyal. Mm-hmm. I don't know why or how, but it's true year after year from the 80s to now. They are so loyal. And I think it goes back to them trusting the air talent and the music. The music's evolved as the listeners have evolved too. So we've kind of all grown together. So I just think that they feel like we as air talent are their friends and they can trust us. And it just makes them loyal, not only to us, but to the country artists, mm-hmm. to the country fan base, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's buying a car, whether it's buying a house, dermatology, any product you can think of, they trust us and they're loyal to us.
Well, and you talk about that special relationship that you have with the artists. I can't think of any other format where the air personalities and the stations are so close to the artists that they actually expose on the radio.
There isn't another format that does that. And, you know, my colleagues in other formats are always amazed, like, you met Morgan Wallen? Like, you have Kenny Chesney's phone number in your cell phone? I was like, yeah, because we have been friends for years. Before those people were stars, and still today, they're real people. Mm-hmm. They do the same things that we do. And that is the thing about country music, about the country format, about the songwriters too, is they don't really differentiate. They don't have the egos that other format artists have. They're real. And I think too, that is the answer to your previous question of why everyone is so loyal to each other. The country fans are loyal to the country artists, are loyal to country radio, are loyal to back to the country artists.
Well, and you personally are dispelling another myth mm-hmm. about females on the air, especially in country, that, you know, we hear a lot about, oh, the format isn't playing female artists, which I sort of shake my head, and women on the air, and I'm shaking my head because look how successful you are.
Well, I've been at it a long time, and I've mentored a lot of people too. To break down some of those barriers, we have more women in country music on and off the air, inside and outside of the music piece of it too. And I'm in publishing, and I'm really proud of that because I've seen that grow. And for me, I look back and I see people that I've mentored who are now VPs of record labels or doing really cool things as far as creating events or creating huge festivals. And it's like, wow, like all it takes is a little spark and to truly love what you do and have that passion, and you can set the world on fire.
No question, as you are doing. So the business has certainly changed since you first got into it, and how people are listening to you on their devices have changed. As someone on the air communicating with an audience, has that changed the way you think about communicating with your listeners?
That's absolutely changed. Now, what we do is a 360 content approach. Mm-hmm. And what that means, and it's really important for the air talent to understand this, is that what we talk about on the air has to be local. And so therefore, especially with Town Square Media, the 360 approach is where we write articles every day. And that's part of my job. And that's part of everyone on my staff. That's part of our job. If you walk into a radio station and think, oh, I'm going to be on the air and then I'm going to leave and that's my day, you've got it all wrong. That's not how it works anymore. And even back then, it didn't really work that way because it's always been local. And the best air talent use that approach. A 360 content approach. So we find local stories, we write them, and then we talk about them on the air. And then we tell the listeners, go to our app if you want to read the story. Mm-hmm. And in the middle there, we tease it, of course. We tease, hey, coming up, I'll tell you a story about Morgan Wallen when 6 years ago, when he was at Fenway Park, how he was turned away. and he's playing 3 sold out shows this week. And then we come back and tell part of the story, not enough to give it away. And then the listener goes to the app or the website, looks up the story, and they read the story. And then as they scroll, we're selling ads. So it really is, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's local.
Well, and it's really changed also the way you prep for your show.
Oh, yes. When we prep for our show, we don't use a prep sheet. We look at a prep sheet just to see if it sparks stories that we can relate locally. You know, a national story like the one I just mentioned with Morgan Wallen, we can relate a Morgan Wallen story to Fenway Park or to a local event. And that's how we make it local. So now our prep is actually what we write every day, which again is brilliant because I believe Town Square has it figured out. And I'm really enjoying it because I feel like I know the listener better because I see and write every day what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking it off a prep service, off some national sheet. I'm actually writing, doing, thinking, talking about it every day. And it really ingrains me in the community even more.
And then you have access to all of the other stories that are being written by your team.
Oh, yes. We cross-share everything. Not only my team cross-sharing on my website, on the WOK Cube website, but also throughout Northern New England. New England, if you look at it, is actually quite a small area. So we share with our counterparts in Augusta, in Portland, in Bangor. So it's great because we get content from all 3 states.
Wow.
Because it's all drivable. So we have plenty of content to talk about locally.
I bet. So we talk, you mentioned that relationship and the importance of local. Can you share a story or two that specifically talks about that special relationship you have with your audience?
Yeah, I can actually. So I was at a concert one time and I met this woman and I didn't know her. She was a listener. And then the next day she sent me a message on our app, and we're very active on our app. We not only can message back and forth with listeners on our app and make requests, we also have a voicemail feature where they can leave us a 60-second, very clean voicemail that we can use on the air later.
Oh, wow.
So sure enough, this woman connected with me on a few different topics, and she's messaging me, she's leaving me messages. And then I meet up with her again at another concert, and she messages me the next day and says, I feel like I know you. Like, I feel like you're my best friend. And I thought, oh my goodness, I have that kind of like impact on her. It made me step back and say, if she thinks I'm her best friend, then I'm really doing my job well. Right. And I'm really connecting with the listener. And that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, I had a guy named Jason. I have a couple of endorsements where it's a little maybe more macho. You wouldn't think a female endorser would be endorsing these products, but that's what I do. I'm very versatile. And this guy came up to me and he said, are you Ginny? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm Jason and I listen to you every day. And I love NASCAR too, because I talk about NASCAR a lot on the radio. You would never think, right? But I am a total NASCAR nut.
Right.
And we start talking like the lingo, the whole NASCAR thing. And I walked away thinking, oh my gosh, he listens to me. He like actually listens to what I'm saying and is engaged in what I'm the stories that I'm telling. Mm-hmm. So those are 2 examples. And something else that a morning show coach once told me, and I'll never forget this, facts tell, but stories sell. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that because it's a simple saying that basically means great content is great content. If you're a great storyteller, then you're going to relate to people because you're going to relate on a local level through personal experience. And that's what it takes to be a great air talent. Personal experience, relating it in a way that the listener says, oh, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no better way to create community.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier with social media and the website that they're also selling ads against that content. Mm-hmm. So we know that Town Square is very involved as a digital first company, but let's take a step back. Let's first think of advertisers or marketers, if you will. And if you were face to face with an advertiser right now and they said, I'll give you 30 seconds, what would you say to them about why it's so important to include radio in their advertising and marketing plans?
I'd say radio is everywhere. You can't get away from it. Radio reaches almost every person in America every day. There's no greater medium to reach out and touch people. And also, when you think about advertising on the radio, with our 360 approach, we can add in a digital piece that will super target your product. So you have a radio piece where we have an air talent talking about your product in a real emotional way. And then we have a digital piece that counters with that to combine together an unbeatable way to sell your product or to have the reach even greater than what you would think would be a normal approach. On top of that, our air talent are the original influencers. They speak the speak, they talk the talk of the people that are buying your product. So if you want to reach more people, it's easy. You just turn on the radio because it's available everywhere and people listen all the time, and it's the best way for you to be successful. So jump on board.
Can you share an example of how you personally have worked with an advertiser or an endorsement or a project?
Yeah, the best example I can give you is we sold recently a dual endorsement. So think about that. We sold to a dermatologist.
Okay, I'm going to take a step back. First of all, I love you said we sold. So were you involved in the entire sales process as well?
I was, because when the account executive came up with the idea of a dual endorsement, he came to the morning show host, Kira, and I do middays. And Kira and I are about 20 years apart. And he said, I have an idea for this dermatology group. They want an endorser. And if you both endorse, you'll hit two different segments of the audience in two different ways, two different experiential ways. So let's get on the phone with them, have them meet you and talk through it. We did that. And then we went to meet them. We actually are at two different offices. We actually are clients of the advertiser. Wow. They love us. We infuse so much enthusiasm, not only in their product, but when we would go to visit the office. And again, we come at it from two different angles. So we talked about on the first spot that we did, we talked about hydrofacials. Kira, the 30-year-old, talks about, you know, making sure she doesn't have sun damage and taking care of her skin. Whereas I'm talking about all the gunk that's coming off my skin after years of not getting a facial. So, you know, their hydrofacials went up 50%.
Wow. Based on now, the did you do commercials together or they were separate?
No, we did separate advertising campaigns. It was one major campaign for the same service,
right,
just to test it out. And it was a great success. So
it's fantastic. And over what period of time? You know, so many times, you know, we wonder, did the campaign work? And unfortunately, sometimes before the campaign starts, we're not even clear on how they're going to measure success. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that was part of the conversation at the beginning about what they were looking to do through your endorsements.
Yes. And when I said we are a digital first company, we are. We have so many metrics that we can measure because we are a digital company. And so we use many of those metrics, not just Google Analytics, but other metrics that we have also that will help the client see the results. And they're instantaneous.
Right.
They can see them immediately.
Mm-hmm. I have the advantage of looking at you while we're recording this. And just for our audience that will be listening to this, you do have gorgeous skin. I need to add that.
Thank you. Well, that's Optima Dermatology.
So when you work with, do you have any advice when you're working with sales departments on how to help advertisers?
I would highly recommend for account executives to really push endorsements, because endorsements work. Again, we go back to the country music audience. They trust us. And if we can sell a personal experience into that, it's like gold for the client. We tell great stories, we have great content, but more importantly, we create a fear of missing out, right? If I'm talking about a product and as the listener, I'm not using it, then I feel like maybe I'm missing out on something. I need to try this. Mm-hmm. And so many people really base all of their decisions on what other people say or suggest. So I would say for AEs, endorsements are definitely the way to go. It's a win-win-win, really. It wins for us, the air talent. It wins for the account executive in the sales department, and it's a win for the client. So that would be number one on my list. The second thing on my list, I would say, is we do a whole Christmas campaign. It's called Christmas Wish, and it really tugs at your heartstrings, as so many of the charitable causes and on-air charitable events do. This one in particular, though, every year it's grown because accounts want part of it. They listen to it on the air. They hear us reading letters of someone who's nominated for a $500 gift card, and the need is so great. And isn't it really about community, right? Especially around the holidays, about doing good things for people who need our help. And we are so blessed, and we have so much, and we're so filled with gratitude. And then when advertisers hear letters like we read, and just the sheer emotion that comes out of the air talent, they want to be part of it. So don't underestimate any kind of warm and fuzzy campaign that we're doing too. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful.
Well, I also love the way you framed it with an advertiser talking. You know, you refer to it as a personal experience. And I think sometimes in advertising, we don't use words like that. You know, it's, and that's what you do as an on-air person, because you're connecting with that audience, but you're providing that real personal experience with information to back it up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's great.
And again, yeah, the personal experience goes back to the original influencers. I'll give you another example. We had a real estate agency that wanted to advertise with us. Our morning show host, Kira, was looking for a house at the same time, paired perfectly, right? So it took about a year while the campaign was on. Kira went through, as an endorser, all of the steps that she went through as someone looking for her first house, which was so powerful, because every spot or every commercial that she put together, she did from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
That real estate agent right now is the number one real estate agent in New Hampshire.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And they're still on the air.
They are still on the air because they know the power of a personal experience. And now Kira's in her new house, and she goes on to talk about the follow-up that also happened. So it really was a great campaign. And it started with a conversation that Kira had with an account executive who said, I want to buy a house. Who can you connect me with?
So the actual thought or lead came from the personality first, not the seller.
Correct. And oftentimes it happens that way. We often give lists to the sales department and say, hey, I'm interested in this. I'm looking for this. You know, I'm looking for a dermatologist. I'm looking for a tattoo artist. I'm looking for a house. Right. I'm looking for a car. I need tires. Oh, my roof. You wouldn't believe it. I'm looking for a metal roof. It just, the list goes on and on.
But talk about what a great working relationship within the radio station to create that team spirit, to help each other.
Yes, Erica. And what I've found is that if I'm here just to do a job, there's not going to be any excitement. I'm here to create excitement, not only on the air, but within my team, within my morning show, who are phenomenal. They are so funny. and engaging, but also to create excitement in the sales department. You have to have great ideas and think big. That's one of the messages I would say too. Don't think you can't. I know we're on limited staff. I know we're on limited budget, but there are ways that we all work together to make small events bigger, to create not only bigger events for programming, for on air, but also for our advertisers and for our sales department to shine, because we're all the best in the business. We have to think that way because we are. We are. And advertisers need to know that. And we walk out of here with our heads held high, with a lot of confidence every day, because we know we've done the best job that we can today. And tomorrow is a new day.
Mm-hmm. So if you could finish the sentence, radio works because?
Radio works because it's as local as you can get. Radio personalities are real, just like your listeners. They have the same struggles. They want to take care of their families just like you. They're creative. It's a one-on-one relationship. It's immediate. Radio works because it's everywhere and it's personal.
And radio matters because?
Radio matters because that's where you're going to find your best friend. That's where you're going to find your friend on the radio that feels, thinks, and talks the same way that you do. And that's the person you're going to trust. That's why it matters. Radio equals trust.
As we continue to hear, great radio is made by great personalities with great storytelling. And by sharing these great stories and experiences, the audience then says, hey, I feel the same way as that person. And since I feel the same way, I feel like I know them and trust them. And as Ginny shared, once they trust you, the world is in your court. You can go anywhere as long as you maintain that trust.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.